is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
CM Punk and MJF channel Brett and Shawn. Brock Lesnar dishes more Canadian references. And WWE says goodbye to Jeff Hardy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We're Canada's wrestling radio program powered by Great Lakes Beer and coming at you across the country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and tonight I'm joined once again by my co-host, the second most popular man from Saskatchewan in the wrestling industry, Mike McGuire. Mike, what is coming up tonight?
We got a lot to talk about, including checking in with Dave Meltzer. He's going to give us some more insight on all these stories with the Wrestling Observer update. Also, you're going to test a couple of our Patreon patrons in another edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. And you and I are probably going to talk wrestling because there's a few things to talk about.
There is indeed. We will get to that a little bit later in the show. For the next hour, we are here. But if that's not enough for you, remember, listeners, our motley crew of podcast characters deliver wrestling podcasts to you each and every day on our Patreon. Sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's only $1 a week, and you get wrestling content each and every day. And now we're going to get all King Kong Bundy or maybe Big E on you to kick off the show. Here's the five count with Mike McGuire.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Thank you very much, Jason. We're going to start off on kind of the sad news and build our way up to better news. We start off with the sad passing of Black Jack Lanza. For those that grew up in the era of the Black Jacks, you know that they ran roughshod in the 70s and 80s, holding multiple titles in the AWA, the NWA, and even had a WWWF tag team run where they held the championships there. Jack Lanza would go on to be an official for years. You would see him run out with Tony Garea and others in the beige jackets trying to break up the fights. He would induct Bobby Heenan into the WWE Hall of Fame and then be inducted himself with his partner, Black Jack Mulligan, back in 2016. Jack Lanza was 86. Probably the biggest current day headline, Jeff Hardy's release still hasn't been officially announced by WWE. The story broke last weekend after he was said to have, quote, a rough night at a house show in a six-man tag. He ended up wandering through the crowd and never came back to the ring. Now, the word coming out is that Jeff was released after refusing to go to rehab. This happened to him back in 2013 as well. In a tweet that was reposted by his wife, she said, Jeff is good, we are good. Post that you heard that. His brother Matt Hardy also had similar things to say and further fueled speculation after posting an old photo of House Hardy, him and Jeff, facing off against the Young Bucks back in ROH. Most recently, Matt tweeting that he feels extremely good about the future, spelling extremely the way they did back when it was Team Extreme. Shifting gears, the PWG Battle of Los Angeles or BOLA brackets are starting to fill up. Kevin Blackwood, Jonah, Alex Shelley, Impact Wrestling's Black Taurus, and AEW's Leo Rush have been confirmed to be in the tournament. We'll find out if more AEW talents get added to that card as we get closer to the date. Some great news from the legendary Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He announced earlier this week that he is now cancer-free. Now the goal is for him to stay in remission. This is Hacksaw's second battle against cancer that he's gone through. If you remember, about 20 years ago, he survived kidney cancer while in WCW. We're wishing Hacksaw all the absolute best. Tough guy! And to put us more in a festive mood, some wrestlers doing some good. Big shout out going out to Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, the former Hawkins and Ryder, once again had their major wrestling figure podcast toy drive event. Over 6,000 toys were delivered to their collection location over the weekend. They had special meet and greets, including the former Hornswoggle, AEW's Chris Statlander, Ethan Page, Colt Cabana, and Maven. Yeah, that Maven, among those there to collect and take pictures with fans that made donations. Great event every year. And Bailey has been having a star-studded Instagram live session, including some artists and performers from her neighborhood, and a guy named Stone Cold Steve Austin appeared. Proceeds from that are going to Family Giving Tree, a holiday charity in the Bay Area where she lives. And here in Canada, coming up in March, it has been announced the second annual Bret the Hitman Hart Calgary Hitmen game will be happening. Last time they did this, Bret brought his old WWF ring to the arena where fans could go and have a meet and greet with him. And then Alberta Wrestling Promotion, the Prairie Wrestling Alliance, had live matches on the ice after the Calgary Hitmen played. All proceeds from this go to the Calgary Prostate Center, which is the place that Bret credits for saving his life a couple years ago. That is the five count for this weekend on Sunday night's main event. Jason Agnew, back to you.
All right, thank you, Mike. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Dave Meltzer will join us. And don't forget Turnbuckle Trivia to come and a review of the week that was in pro wrestling, because that's what we do each and every week right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
When I'm on me boat, battling the waves, trying to gather me fish, it takes two important factors. A keen eye and a peeled ear. Me pappy told me, when you least expect it, expect it. And don't let a little choppy water get in your way. So when I pops the top of my Lake Effect IPA, I don't fret when the crest of a wave slaps me hard and I spill a little bit down me chin. I think of it as a favor, cause it's not too often out here that I gets to wash me beard. Go with the Lake Effect. It'll guide you right every time.
Lake Effect IPA, now available at an LCBO near you, the GLB retail store, and GreatLakesBeer.com.
For the first time in more than a decade, WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Edmonton, September 26th, 2022.
You want to fight? You got it!
You'll see WWE Champion Big E, Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle, RK-Bro, Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, and more. Reach seats are available now, and tickets start at $20 at Ticketmaster.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
All right, Dave Meltzer now joins us from the Wrestling Observer, and we'll get a little bit more in-depth with the news. Now, Dave, making headlines this week for all the wrong reasons and, you know, kind of recurring, Jeff Hardy, first of all, what happened, and then we'll get into the release.
Okay, so he was wrestling on the Saturday Night House Show in Edinburgh, Texas, in a six-man tag main event against the Usos. It was, I know it was Drew McIntyre and Jeff, and I think it was Xavier Woods. But anyway, in the match, before the match started, Jeff started signing autographs and mingling with the fans, which is what you do after the main event. Uh-huh. So that was interesting, but I mean, nobody was really too alarmed by that. The match went, and I didn't hear like there was any issues with, you know, he was in the ring, he was selling a lot, no issues really there. And then he made the hot tag, and then just left, and he ended up in the crowd. And McIntyre won with the Claymore kick on one of the Usos, and Hardy was like in the crowd and didn't come back. And McIntyre just goes, "Where's Jeff Hardy?" You know, on the mic and everything. So it was kind of weird. And, you know, he was sent home for whatever reason, obviously not fully there, did not work the next night, and then he was asked to go to rehab because, I mean, they had no choice. It's not like this is a first time. You know, everybody likes Jeff Hardy, but this wasn't a first time, and it wasn't a third time or a fourth time either. I mean, this is something that's gone on regularly, you know, for 17 years. I mean, he has not had, as well as we can tell, he hasn't had a problem since 2019, but he's had regular problems for everywhere he's worked for years. So when he said he wouldn't go to rehab, I think they had no choice but to let him go. So that's what happened.
Was it a surprise to you at all? I mean, this is, you know, if he can straighten himself out, and I mean, that is a big if. We've seen this a whole bunch of times, but I mean, this is handing the Hardy Boys in a comeback to AEW.
Yeah, I think that they probably felt that they had no choice in the matter. What are you going to do to have any, you know what I mean? It's like how else? There's really was no other way to handle it. You know, I don't think they expected him to say no. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the problem. Once you say no, when you're asked to go to rehab over an issue like that, and you say no, what can the company do? You know, it's interesting because they could suspend him, you know, for a length of time. And he would, you know, and even for a long length of time if they wanted to, and perhaps he would have to sue to get out of his contract at some point because they suspend without pay. But they just decided that he said, no, we've got to get rid of him. We can't have him. We can't have him anymore. And he can be, you know, I mean, he can be somebody else's problem or he can be somebody else's big success. Because, I mean, like, no matter what, the fans will always some people the fans will turn on, and other people, like Jeff Hardy, the fans will never turn on. And, yeah, him going to AEW, which there's no guarantee Tony Khan will take him, but, I mean, we have had a history of Jeff Hardy for 17 years, and every time one company lets him go, the other company grabs him as soon as they can, for all those reasons, because he's Jeff Hardy and he's a big star and you can beat him and he's going to stay over forever. And, you know, the Hardy Boys' return is real hard to turn down. You know, Hardy Boys, Young Bucks, I mean, Young Bucks are EVPs. They wanted that feud in 2017. It got taken away when the Hardys decided to go to WWE. They had a whole year of program worked out. So, yeah, I mean, I expect it. No one's from AEW has told me that they're going there, but it just seems obvious, and Matt Hardy's already hinted at it. So, you know, yeah, I expect that that's the destination.
Moving on to other names that people are talking about and have a question mark as to where they're going to end up. Of course, everybody's talking about Johnny Gargano, Kyle O'Reilly. Now, one gets beaten down, one gets to make a speech, and then gets beaten down. Do we know if offers have been made? Do we know if they're going to be sitting idly by, or are they planning on going elsewhere?
Well, I mean, the thing is them letting their contracts expire tells you inherently they are looking at offers from the other side, and they're going to, you know, play them off and see, you know, who makes the best offer. For Kyle O'Reilly, as far as decisions, I can't tell you anything. I know that Gargano's up in the air, you know, as far as what he's going to do next. And both of them have kids coming early next year. So I think that both, you know, at least told WWE that they want to sit some time out anyway. Now, of course, you know, you could sign a contract and ask for, you know, a month off for that, and they will probably grant you that. I'm sure that they would. So there is something to that. Obviously, they're trying to, you know, whatever it is. But, I mean, if you're Kyle O'Reilly, it doesn't seem to be much of a future in WWE for Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, you know, what are you going to... I mean, the new direction of NXT is to go with younger guys and to go with bigger guys. And while he's a great worker, that's not the direction they're going anymore. And as far as, like, the big money, you know, people think WWE is bigger money, and it can be. NXT is not. I mean, AEW pays better, much better than NXT. So I think from that perspective, and Bobby Fish just went there, you know, Adam Cole just went there. There seems to be the idea of a Young Bucks and Kenny Omega when Kenny Omega gets healthy feud with Undisputed Era. So you could, without using that term, obviously, so that's open for Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. It just feels like it's AEW's the place for Kyle O'Reilly. For Gargano, you know, you've got, there's a lot of different things. I mean, you've got, you know, basically the money issue. I know that WWE did make him a very good offer to stay. They did want to keep him. I don't know what, there's a finite number of people, I don't know what that number is, that AEW can keep taking and keep expanding that roster. I don't know what you do. The roster's way too big. But, you know, O'Reilly's got his friends there, and Gargano probably does as well. And Gargano is a great wrestler. So I would think that they would make an offer, or certainly would consider it. But, yeah, he's going to sit and wait and see who makes the best offer, and it's kind of like, basically, there's a lot of things. Obviously, money's a very key thing, especially
right.
When you're 34 and you're hurting. Money's a key thing, and the other thing is that if he stays with NXT, the nature of NXT, they're not touring, because he's not going to go to the main roster. So, you can stay in NXT, and you are home 7 nights a week. You know, you'll work your one match on TV, and then you don't work a match every single week, but you've got your TV work, and you've got your other work, but it's all at the Performance Center. It's in Orlando. You live in Orlando. You're home every week. You wake up with your son or daughter. You know, I mean, you're going to wake up with your kid. And, you know, if that's what you want and that's really important to you, you know, that's that. With AEW, it is not the kind of schedule that wrestlers have had in the past where it's, you know, 4 days gone. It's usually Wednesday, occasional Fridays, and Saturday or Sunday for a pay-per-view, which is only for a year. So it's not a bad schedule, but you're not home every night. But you have a whole new group of opponents to go with, and also your size will not work against you as far as in NXT, his role will be to put over the young guys, essentially. In AEW, his role will be to be in programs with a lot of new people. So from that perspective, all things being equal, AEW does sound like the better bet. But, you know, you may just go like, look, I can have a job, my wife, and his, and also his wife works for WWE and may want to work in the same place as his wife. So those are the factors when it comes to Johnny Gargano.
Makes sense, Dave. Okay, let's turn to AEW now. And Chris Jericho, a bit of a health scare this week. Some Fozzy gigs canceled, but apparently non-COVID illness. What's the status?
Yeah, I just know that he's okay. He's out of the hospital. He gave me the impression it was nothing too serious, but they did keep him overnight the other night. I think it was Thursday night. And did cancel concerts. And that's pretty much all we know.
All right. Well, the big news is Final Battle. Mike, go for it.
Absolutely. Lots of surprises. Maybe not surprises in some ways, too, Dave. Jay Lethal ending up in the main event for the title. We had tons of AEW performers, Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, the Bucks. FTR are there challenging the Briscoes and so much more. Does this mean that we have an AEW future for ROH, do you think? And also, Braun Strowman, I know Jay was very, very happy to see this news. Braun Strowman showing up in ROH. Where does this all end up?
That's a really good question. I mean, obviously, there's my gut would be that so many of the AEW guys got big breaks, big career breaks from Ring of Honor, and you know, Ring of Honor was kind of like the top guys from Ring of Honor and the New Japan guys were really the foundation of the building of AEW. So, you know, it could be the last Ring of Honor show, certainly the last for several months. I mean, it's really hard. It felt like a farewell show from what, you know, everyone said. So I think that the deal is, I think a lot of the talent, the top talent, obviously, again, I mean, again, it's like how many people can AEW continue to add, but I'm sure that they will add, you know, there are people in Ring of Honor that you would think that AEW would want. I mean, actually, quite a few in the Briscoes, Bandido, you know, obviously come to mind, and there's many others. They already signed Jay Lethal. So I think that, like, the Briscoes and FTR sounds like something that would be an AEW feud, that they would move over there, and every one of them, they can start, you know, they can start tomorrow. I mean, everyone's a free agent right now. They're not going to hold, I mean, like, you know, contracts may be till the end of the year, but they're not going to hold people to those contracts. And no one's going to be signed to a new contract, so AEW can get anyone that they want, essentially. So I think we have that. Impact will probably get some of the guys. But, yeah, it was basically Impact. And, you know, it's like, why treat Ring of Honor as an enemy? They're going away, or they're going to be what Ring of Honor originally was, which is funny because a lot of people were just like, the Ring of Honor that we had from the beginning is gone. And it's like, really, Ring of Honor was the free agents. It's just that there's, you know, then it was just TNA and WWE, and now there's Impact and there's AEW, which is, of course, you know, a monster rival to WWE. So the uniqueness of Ring of Honor being the show where you get the really good wrestling, it's not really there, but the idea of Ring of Honor being, you know, a top indie with really good wrestling, there are always going to be guys coming up, you know, like what PWG has or whatever, and perhaps they could do that. Perhaps AEW will even let their talent work Ring of Honor. They let them work with, you know, pretty much any indie, you know, if the guys
are
really
want to work. Yeah, GCW, they're everywhere. One more thing just on this. Do you think that they being AEW, buys the ROH library or buys Honor Club and we start an AEW streaming service?
I don't think the Honor Club thing will be bought. It doesn't make any sense. As far as buying Ring of Honor to put on shows, I would think no. I mean, I know that, like, every company has tried to sell themselves to Tony Khan. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, but what, you already have your company. You don't really need to buy one. And you don't really need to prop one up. I mean, if Tony Khan wants to buy it from Sinclair, I'm sure Sinclair would love to sell it, but I just don't know what are you buying when you can get everyone, and it's not like there's this big infrastructure that you need. You really don't. So, but again, I don't know. I haven't talked to Tony Khan about that subject, but I just know that Impact tried to sell to Tony Khan, and at the time he was not interested in, and I, you know, I had the impression he was not looking at buying wrestling companies.
All right, Dave, that is fantastic. Observer this week, highlights for us, what should we look for?
Hopefully a lot of business stuff, more on the Ring of Honor stuff, trying to think what other stuff. There's probably some, probably a more look at the business, like in this week's issue. I'm trying to do a big story on as far as, like, you know, the October and November, going through the business for WWE and AEW, because I haven't done the comparison since September, and, you know, things have changed. And, you know, again, like, hopefully a big story on Lanza as well. So there's, you know, every week there's never a shortage of news. I mean, I did 24 pages this week, so when I thought this was going to be a slow week, so you can imagine. You know, as the holidays come, you think it's going to be slower, but it probably won't be.
Yeah, you never know. We continue to follow it along, and Dave, we'll talk to you next week at this same time. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. All right, you can find Dave Meltzer here each and every week, but also follow him along at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, you got to block off while I test a couple people about Jeff Hardy, but then when we come back to round out today's show, I feel like Bret Hart's name is going to come up a lot. You know what I mean?
Well, it's been known to happen.
Yeah, it's been known to happen. I felt like we were watching him this week on TV on AEW. We shall talk about that and a whole lot more. Stick with us. It is Sunday night's main event.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. We have two patrons on the line to play the game, and one of them is a first-timer, and that person is going to be player one today. Hello, Derek from Illinois. How are you?
Doing well, Jay. How are you?
Good. What inspired you to get into this and finally take the plunge and play the game?
I've been a listener for a long time, and I thought maybe I would do well.
All right, well, let's hope you do. Though I hope this gentleman does well as well. He's played a few times. Rodney from Welland, how are you doing?
I am great, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Okay, guys, here we go. It's Derek versus Rodney. Derek, you're player one. Rodney, you're player two. Now, I mean, let's consider the news this week, and you may figure out what you were going to get trivia about. And it is one Jeff Hardy. We've been talking about him this show, so let's learn more about him and go back into his past. Here we go. Derek, first question is for you. Before arriving in WWE, the Hardy brothers started their own pro wrestling company in North Carolina. By what acronym was it known, Derek?
Oh, I got nothing. ECW.
It was not. It was Omega is how it was known. So, Rodney, over to you, and oh, you get just a doozy of a question. Rodney, what does Omega stand for?
I have no idea.
All right. It is Organization of Modern Extreme Grappling Arts. Yeah, that is a super hard question. Sorry about that. I'm not sorry. I wrote it and I put it in there and I knew it was you. So really, haha. Moving back to Derek, it's 0-0 right now. After making it to WWE with brother Matt, the Hardy Boys feuded with the Brood. Who did they add as their manager at that time, Derek?
Total guess. Big Boss Man?
What a bizarre guess. No, it was Michael Hayes that they added at that time. Okay, Rodney, over to you. Now, after a brief stint with Hayes, they were aligned with Gangrel as the New Brood. And when that didn't work, they won a tournament for the series. Tournament for whom as a manager?
Terry Reynolds.
Yes, because of course the tournament was called the Terry Invitational Tournament. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Classic attitude era. Derek, back to you on this. Rodney's up 1-0 right now. What is the name of Hardy's black and white umbrella wielding character he portrayed in Impact?
Whew. Man, this is not my day.
Derek, this one you should know, I feel.
Don't even have a guess.
Oh, my. It was Willow. Or as he used to say, Willow. We now go to Rodney once again. Hey, Rodney, when Matt Hardy was doing his broken gimmick, how did he refer to Jeff?
Brother Nero.
That's correct. Brother Nero. All right, we go back to you now, Derek. You got to get this one to at least accomplish a tie. Jeff Hardy is a one-time WWE champion. He won the title in a three-way match at WWE Armageddon in 2008. Name one of the two men that was also in that match. I urge you to guess and think of the era. Armageddon 2008, Derek. It's a lot of
The Undertaker?
It's a great guess, and there was history with The Undertaker and Hardy, but the correct answer is Triple H and Edge were in that match. And with that, you cannot catch up. And Rodney, congratulations, you defeated the first timer, and you've got a t-shirt from ballergear.ca coming your way. Sound good?
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Congrats, Rodney.
All right, guys, that does it for trivia this week. When we come back, Mike McGuire rejoins the show and we chat about the week that was in pro wrestling. You're listening to Canada's pro wrestling radio show. It's Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Ooh, feeling fine, mama. Painted ladies and a bottle of wine, mama. Ooh, feeling good, mama. They took my money like I knew they would.
I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins-Jillian, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
For the first time in more than a decade, WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Edmonton, September 26th, 2022.
You want to fight? You got it!
You'll see WWE Champion Big E, Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle, RK-Bro, Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, and more. Great seats are available now, and tickets start at $20 at Ticketmaster.
Oh, we're going to start.
And what a horrible way to start our broadcast.
How would we?
Hey, come on, I like MJF.
Yeah, that's one of you.
Oh, this is MJF's hometown.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh.
What the hell? Look at this. Wait a minute. That's not MJF.
Well, I left last break saying I felt like I was going to talk about Bret Hart on this show. And Mike, let me tell you something. It was in 1996, 1997. I had kind of fallen away from pro wrestling. I was a bit of a lapsed fan. And it was that angle that brought me back in, the American-Canadian Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. And I felt like I was watching it on AEW this week. And it was awesome.
I was just waiting for CM Punk to say, our beer tastes better, our air is cleaner in Chicago. You know, like just
the armpit of North America is in Buffalo or Pittsburgh or something. The enema was in Pittsburgh.
The enema hose, yeah.
But okay, here's the thing. Like, that was pretty clear cut, US, Canada, right? I watched this, and don't get me wrong, I loved it. I loved everything they did. But I honestly don't know if they had to do it. Did that fall into the back of your brain at all? Like, did you think Punk was going to get booed that much in Long Island?
I didn't think Punk was going to get booed at all until he started saying stuff that made him get booed. You know, it's one of those things where Punk is still got that license, universally loved everywhere.
Yeah.
But I think he did that just to help get MJF over even more because they'd already set up that he's coming home. And then they run that incredible movie trailer style promo to bring out MJF. And if you haven't watched it yet, go back and see it because it was dynamic. Like, it was just so fun to watch. But they really wanted to get over the fact that tonight they were in MJF's home turf and Punk can take the hits. So why not do it?
Yeah, and, you know, they started so nicely, too, with using MJF's music and have Punk walked out. Like, it was just, and it wasn't because, you know, I think people might be critical about us saying this and how we're saying how well this was done, even though going against what the crowd reaction would have been, the organic reaction may have been to cheer CM Punk. And people might say, hey, guys, you know, you're bitching about this, but what about Becky Lynch and how they kind of rejected that? I feel like this is totally different because I do think the crowd would have been split due to Punk being in the program with MJF. They could have gone dueling babyface here. They could have tried to put MJF, get him over as a heel, but they went in this direction. And I just thought they did it very smartly.
If MJF is ever a babyface again, I won't understand what's going on in our world because he's just so good at being a heel. And even in his God's country, as he called it, there were little things that still reminded you that this was really the feud between the two of them. Yes, it's Chicago versus Long Island, but MJF comes out to the hero's welcome. And did you notice he did exactly what CM Punk did when he made his return in Chicago? He came out, he took the knees, he waited a minute, and then he got up and got fired up and went to the ring. And it was just those little shots, again, devil in the details, that remind you, oh yeah, these guys are working to get inside each other's head, and it makes it so much more fun.
You're right. He kind of jumped into the crowd on his way down too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Just almost. Like Punk did. Yeah. I didn't notice that, but you're right. Yeah. The fine little details that they have tossed in. It's really an incredibly entertaining feud. I'm so into what they're going to do next here with this. And do you think, though, coming out of this, I mean, do you think that MJF is going to end up with that ring once again?
Oh, yeah. That no disrespect, but yeah. Who else are you going to put it on? That's basically his thing now. It's going to become the MJF ring when he retires, you know? It'll be, yeah, I don't know how you possibly take it away from him at this point.
Well, I mean, the one thing you could do is next week, I mean, he's supposed to have the match against, what is it, Dante Martin, right?
Dante Martin, yeah.
So Dante Martin and him are supposed to have the match. You could have Punk interfere here and ruin this for him so he doesn't have the ring anymore.
Ooh.
Because Dante Martin is a future star. I mean, the guy's been fantastic. And if you did want to give him this gimmick of the ring, you could do that. MJF doesn't need it anymore.
This is true. You know, I like that thinking now that you mention it. And see, I'm a guy that I like consistency, and AEW, for some of their foibles, they do offer a lot of consistency with their top characters, their top performers. So I could see him re-winning the ring, but yeah, you entering that whole Punk factor, that does add fuel to the fire. So now you've totally changed my mind, Jason.
Well, at some point, Mike, I was called the fantasy booker back in the day. I don't do this segment anymore, but believe me, it's one of the most fun things to do when you're a wrestling fan is try to figure out what is going to happen next. And that's something that's been said for Cody Rhodes as well. We talked about him last week. You were still loving what he was doing. This week, though, interesting in the world of Cody Rhodes, challenging Sammy Guevara for the TNT title. Now, Cody's been pretty protected in what he's done, but this is... You know, you can't have Cody beat Sammy. That's not going to happen. So really, I think the question is, Cody's going to lose, but how does he lose? Does he lose clean, or does he lose by nefarious means by someone else? Because Cody's a guy that probably wants to put Sammy over.
Well, after lighting himself on fire in his last match, I think Cody Rhodes just explodes. I think he just
that's next in Atlanta. You wait till he goes back to Atlanta and there will be an explosion that'll happen. Yeah.
And then somehow he'll morph together like the T-1000 from Terminator 2 and just reform. But, you know, that's one of those interesting matches, too, where there has to be something screwy that goes on. I like how he threw in the line, you know, it's just you and me, a couple of good guys still just grinding that axe a bit on the fans. And I think the fans are just buying into playing along with it now because it's the way you want to celebrate or acknowledge Cody Rhodes. You want to get in on it. This is the same thing with Cena. Cena got a ton of heat. You know, you can't wrestle, all this other stuff. And then people realize that he can wrestle. It's just still fun to boo him. And,
right.
and Cena would play along with it. So does it get to that level eventually? I think so. But it's still so new that who knows what's going to happen. You're right, though. This does set up for some sort of screwy finish.
No, I don't know. I mean, you know, Sammy's referred to as one of the four pillars of AEW. So I am curious here. They're not. I think a lot of the time our brains go to WWE booking.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case in AEW. They do book things a little differently. You don't necessarily need a DQ and you don't need a count out because that's continually what we see on the other brand. This could just very well be Sammy getting a pin because I don't see something happening here where it's a time limit because they already played that gimmick with Darby Allin, right, in the TNT title.
Yep. Cody Rhodes becomes the most elaborate entrance receiving jobber in the history of AEW. Maybe that's the thing where he's just going to lose everything moving forward. But again, he doesn't lose. He won that match against Andrade. So, yeah, I guess it makes sense that he's challenging for the title. At the same time, anything that would defeat Sammy just makes no sense at this time.
Definitely not. Let's flip over to the world of SmackDown here, WWE. Now, if you want anything about Raw, Mike and I actually did the midweek markout this week. I got him out of bed at like 6 in the morning to record.
5 in the morning.
Okay.
Time change.
It's earlier for him in Saskatchewan. And so you can go listen to that if you're a Patreon. It's up there, our complete Raw review. But let's talk SmackDown, which is apparently SmackDown Saskatchewan is what it is. Every week we get a Saskatchewan reference. This week we got overalls. I was very hesitant when they did not have Brock and Heyman together for everything. But I tell you, the new good old country boy Brock. We haven't seen overalls, I don't think, since the Godwins on WWE TV. He comes out this week, though. This guy is solid. I like the new character. I like what he's doing. It's a complete change from the way that we've seen Brock before. And you mentioned it last week, and after us talking about it, really came to light with me this week, is that can we call Brock an everyman?
Absolutely. And first of all, I'm going to do something for all my fellow residents here. It's Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan.
You're very much a Saskatchewaner. Oh,
like Toronto, where we don't pronounce the T in Toronto?
Exactly.
Okay.
So just so you know, and Brad Wall, who was the former premier here, who is friends with Brock Lesnar, actually put that first clip of Brock Lesnar saying Saskatchewan over and over again, and he put the words proper pronunciation underneath, which was kind of funny.
Okay.
But that's just it. Brock literally is becoming the everyman. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's the everyman's buddy that could kick your butt.
Right.
But, you know, he's the guy you call in back in the day if you needed a heavy. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, better make sure you bring Brock because, you know, stuff could go down. But in all reality, the fact that he's coming in and he's doing the stuff with Sami Zayn, which has been amazing.
It's been really good.
This last couple of weeks with Sami Zayn. Hey, buddy. Good job. Good try, buddy. I'm dying, first of all. But that shows you a different side of Brock Lesnar. And you'd think that, okay, we've had the monster. We've had the beast incarnate. And we still get that in the matches. But I like the idea of Brock Lesnar just sitting down like, okay, buddy, here's the thing. You're going to challenge Roman Reigns. But you're not going to survive because we know I'm Brock Lesnar and I'm basically going to destroy you. But I want to give you a solid A for effort anyways. You know, that friend that you know is screwing you, that buddy that always borrows $50 is like, hey, buddy, thanks for the cash. I'll get it right back to you next week. But Brock is just that guy now who is literally showing up in plaid and overalls. And he's being more relatable now than I think he's ever been in his career.
Yeah,
ever.
Absolutely ever. Okay, so that was a good part of SmackDown this week. I still don't understand why RK-Bro was on SmackDown. Well, I guess I do, because Roman Reigns wasn't there, but for some reason they throw RK-Bro on, and they're the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is Survivor Series still, right?
Yes.
We're going for brand supremacy, right?
2 weeks removed from Survivor Series. Survivor Series, the only night of the year where you get to see performers from opposite brands compete. Well, we saw it again on SmackDown. It's still going on. The main event wins with the guys who don't have the titles are crowned the best tag team in WWE. On one hand, Mike, it makes sense because it's a non-title match, and the guys without the titles won, and that's the way it's supposed to work. But also, RK-Bro being there in itself, none of this made any sense.
No, I think it's just a case where they're trying to attract as much audience as they can. And RK-Bro is the hottest thing on Raw. It's the most entertaining thing, I think. And that's saying something. But it's one of those things. Like, they have Riddle now on NXT as well.
Yeah.
He's the shaman, right, for MSK. So they clearly see a lot in Matt Riddle. They clearly, I mean, you have star power. You can't argue with RK-Bro, but they see something that people like about this guy, that they especially like about Riddle and Orton. You can't go wrong with. So from a, again, catch-all viewpoint, which we've talked about here, you got to view WWE as a catch-all, trying to catch anybody that'll watch a minute of it. Oh, there's Randy Orton. I know that guy. Who's that long-haired dude with him? That's weird. So if you look at it from that way, there's a chance that maybe they're getting audience spikes with those guys. I don't know.
I think it was just a matter of they felt the need for the extra star power. They didn't want to put Brock on at the end. I guess they didn't feel that a Charlotte versus Toni Storm match that was only going to be a few minutes long was good for a main event. That match itself, I mean, first of all, Charlotte, as we switch over to the women's division here, Charlotte, you've noticed, continues, does Andrade's double moonsault. Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
But she is so tall. She misses the moonsault, the second one, every time she does it.
I thought that was kind of the idea of it at first when Andrade did it too. Same thing. But you're right. She just goes so far over. Charlotte, you're too athletic is the problem.
That's
see,
it.
You got too much. You gotta bring it down a few notches. Come live with the rest of us here in our world, where to do that would be a major accomplishment, not just an everyday ho-hum, I'm going to do another backflip, and you'll start to hit the target a little more. But you're right. It's definitely awkward looking.
Well, what's awkward is this whole feud is terrible. This whole feud is so, I mean, both, you look at the Toni Storm feud and you look at the parody booking on the other show with the Liv Morgan feud, both are awful and are doing absolutely nothing for the challengers. This week,
I can also say, as a pie enthusiast, I'm very disappointed in both of them.
Because they ruin pies?
Yes. Mm. What the hell do those pies do to you?
This week, no pie. But Charlotte gets DQ'd. And on top of that, she still beats up Toni afterwards.
Yeah.
So she double beat down Toni Storm this week.
What a great break for Toni Storm.
Wow. And you know, backstage, you know the mentality is that Tony's getting the rub because she's working with Charlotte.
Yep. Maybe she is. Maybe this will all pan out in the long run, though.
You are the eternal optimist if you're thinking that.
I know, right?
Let's talk another day. Well, a debut this week. Xia Li. Now, Xia Li, you know, I'd followed her along with her career in the NXT, and then all of a sudden,
in the NXT, yeah,
she got the whole cartoony character with her and became the Warrior and had a bunch of people speaking to her and an old man training her and all the craziness that went around. So Xia Li's hyped up once again with the cartoon. She's the Avenger or whatever she is right now.
The Defender.
Okay, cool. So she comes out. I will give it that the lightning intro is kind of cool. The electric thing that they do, that's kind of neat. However, if there was any urgency to save Naomi, she still had to do her intro. And then you look at the character and then you look at the ring performance and there is such a great divide here. This is the most unintimidating offense after a big entrance. And once she gets in there, Naomi is still the one that's getting the glory spots.
You know, this took me back to, remember when...
Please say Glacier.
I wasn't going to say Glacier. I'm going the opposite side here. Okay. And this is where I'm actually going to amplify your argument here. Go way back to King of the Ring when American Badass Undertaker first comes through, right? All of a sudden, the lights go crazy. He's here. Undertaker, who we've known to slowly saunter to the ring, tears out in a motorbike, gets in the ring, and automatically starts destroying everybody. Fans are going banana, to quote somebody famous. this was exactly what you said. It's like you have this chance to have this amazing entrance, which, by the way, if you're actually there to defend, maybe show up a little sooner. This is like Superman going like, yeah, I'll be there in five. Hold on.
Yep.
But I think it's about the show. They want to build the character. If I'm a kid, I'm not thinking about timing. I'm watching this going, okay, neat. This is amazing. This is colorful. This is the defense. This is the time. This is Xia Li. Okay. But you're right. To anybody else watching this, it's like, clock's ticking here, girl. You might want to get in there.
Mike, that wraps us up for today. Always a pleasure. And I'm not going to wake you up at the crack of dawn to do any reviews this week. You get an off week, but you're good with being back here next Sunday night?
Every day you ask, I will be here, sir.
Love it. All right, that's Mike McGuire. I'm Jason Agnew. And guys, thank you for listening to Sunday night's main event. Should you want podcasts each and every day, we do them. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Talk to you next week right here on Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.